Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Radwan Ziyadeh, who is an important member of the Syrian opposition. Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Radwan Ziyadeh, who is an important member of the Syrian opposition, and we will discuss the Arab League's imposition of sanctions on the Assad regime following the League's recent ejection from Syria from the organization of which Syria was a founding member. As the portent of civil war looms, we will discuss what actions the UN should take to stop the slaughter. Then we'll look into the latest source of tension between the US and Pakistan following a NATO airstrike that killed 24 Pakistani soldiers. Marvin Weinbaum joins us. He was a former Afghanistan and Pakistan analyst at the Bureau of Intelligence and Research at the State Department, and we will discuss the growing tensions between the erstwhile allies that could get out of hand as the US tries to exit from Afghanistan. Then finally, we'll have a discussion on the upcoming eviction of the Occupy Los Angeles encampment at City Hall, scheduled for midnight Sunday. Clark Davis, the media coordinator for Occupy LA, joins us in the studio, along with our other guests, Councilman Bill Rosendahl and Tom Hayden. We will discuss what looks like an impending clash between police and protesters and how it can be avoided. And joining us now is Radwan Ziyadeh, who is the founder and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. He's also a visiting scholar at the Carr Center for Human Rights at Harvard University and a visiting fellow at Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London. He also co-founded and directed the Syrian Center for Political and Strategic Studies in Washington, D.C. Previously, he was the editor-in-chief of Tirat magazine and secretary of the Syrian Organization for Transparency. Welcome to Background Briefing, Radwan Ziyadeh.
Thank you for having me.
And clearly, the Arab League adopting sanctions against Syria, since Syria was a founding member of the Arab League, I take it that that has got to be a profound, have a profound impact on the Syrian people. I'm not sure about the government. Tell me what you think is the reaction in Syria.
I think it's significant to see that first the Arab League suspends Syria membership from the Arab League since Syria is a founding member in the Arab League, and also puts different sanctions, economic sanctions and political sanctions regarding a travel ban of the senior Syrian officials from traveling. This is significant and hope that will put the end of the killings. But it's clear that today at least 36 has been killed, and there is no indication that the Assad regime will receive the message, will understand the message. This is why we would prefer that if the Arab League refer the case to protect the civilians to the Security Council. Would that allow the Security Council to take significant actions towards the Assad regime and to put the end of the brutality of the Assad militia?
Well, the reason, I suppose, it's not going to the UN, or at least if it does go to the UN, surely China and Russia will veto it. They're suggesting that they've seen this before with Libya, and they don't want this same mechanism being used as an excuse to escalate the situation in Syria into an all-out war, as happened in Libya.
It's actually Russia and China, they both practiced the veto because it wasn't such kind of Arabic support. Now there is a significant support of the decision of the Arab League. 19 member states, they support the decision of the Arab League to suspend Syria membership and to put sanctions on the Assad regime. And this is why if the Arab League officially referred the case to the Security Council, will that weaken the Russian and the Chinese position and make very difficult also for Russia, for India, Brazil, and South Africa to abstain? Because this is actually not only the decision of Europe and United States, rather than an official request from the Arab League, from the regional organization, would that make the decision much more stronger?
And Radwan Ziyadeh, What about the sanctions with the Syrian central bank? Of course, there's also a freeze of assets on Assad's government, a travel ban on senior Syrian officials. But I would think that cutting off transactions with the Syrian central bank will have a pretty profound effect. There are already sanctions in place, are there not?
The sanctions which actually adopted by the Arab League, it will have significant impact on the Syrian economy. The Assad regime rely on the asset they have in some Arabic countries, and basically from United Arab Emirates and maybe Kuwait. If those countries actually stop any transfer to Syria and freeze the assets of the senior Syrian officials in those two countries, that will actually prevent some Syrian officials from using this money to fund what we call in Syria Shabiha or the attacks of the Assad militias. But again, that will not put the end of the Assad attack on the civilians. The only thing that it has to protect the civilians, to go to the Security Council, to put all the necessary measures of the Security Council to protect the civilians.
Well, clearly, the Syrian regime would not allow monitors in. A part of the reason why the Syria was kicked out of the Arab League and now these sanctions have been imposed is because Syria refused to allow 4,000 Arab League monitors into the country. Clearly, they do not want the world seeing what they're doing to their own people. Give us a sense.
Not only they refuse actually the Arab monitors, but also they refuse the fact-finding missions, the Commission of Inquiries, which actually adopted by the UN Human Rights Council. It's clear that the Assad regime wants to hide all the crimes against the humanity, all the war crimes that had Bashar al-Assad committed against his own people. This is why it's the time for the Security Council to take action. We should not allow for more killings, more atrocities to take in Syria. The United Nations actually intervened in Kenya after 1,000, in Cote d'Ivoire after 1,200. In Syria, the official number of the UN is 3,500. And this is why we don't understand why the international community is still reluctant or hesitant to take the necessary actions to protect the Syrian lives.
Again, I'm speaking with Radwan Ziadeh, who's the founder of and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies, also a visiting scholar at the Kaas Center for Human Rights at Harvard University. And in terms of the Arab League vote, you mentioned that 19 Arab states voted in favor of the sanctions. But three votes were against it. I believe that was what, Iraq and Lebanon, and what was the third one?
It's actually Iraq. They abstained.
Abstained.
Lebanon.
Right.
They voted against.
Right.
And Yemen.
Yemen. I see. So would that mean then that the Assads could get money through Beirut, through Lebanon?
This is, we should actually, that Lebanon respect the decisions of the Arab League.
Mm-hmm.
More general, that also Yemen now, the change, the regime in Yemen, we have now a new prime minister and new president, and they shouldn't support the Assad anymore. This is why maybe the problem with Iraq, with that give you that even the United States has invaded Iraq, but has no influence on Iraq. Iran has more influence in Iraq than United States. And this is very significant to see that how the Americans, they lost a lot of lives, thousands of lives in Iraq, to put actually Iraq under the influence of Iran. And the United States cannot bring Iraq to be in. I think this is a very, very important message for the United States to get.
Well, you know, Radwan Ziyadeh, that's the message that the neoconservatives should be shamed by, the stupidity of Bush and Cheney and Addington and Wolfowitz and the whole horrible crowd that brought us that ridiculous war, that the only beneficiaries of the Iraq war were clearly the Iranians. I just don't know that in the real world there's any way you can shame these people, and sometimes reality doesn't even count. It's an appalling situation. I couldn't agree with you more. But there we.
I think you are right, and I think that the United States they should put more pressure on the Iraqi government, on al-Maliki government, to respect and to understand the situation in Syria, not from the sectarian perspective, rather than from democratic perspective. Iraq, they actually struggled a lot for what's going on in Iraq in the last 5 years, because Syria intervened and supported a lot of terrorist groups. Now it's significant to see that the Iraqi, they supporting the Assad regime, rather than actually helping the change of the Assad regime.
So tell me, we spoke a while back, Radwan Ziyadeh, and you felt that time had run out for peaceful protest because of the brutality of the Assad clan, who claim Syria as their own private plantation, and they were continuing to murder people without any compunction, and that you felt that inevitably it would the nonviolent struggle would move to armed struggle. Where do we stand now? There have been some attacks on the secret police. That the Air Force, of course, are you know where the secret police come out of. There was apparently six pilots were killed. Syrian elite pilots were killed as well. What's your understanding of where things stand in terms of army defectors?
Now there is a lot of defection among the army and those who are actually responsible on attacking the Assad militias. But that doesn't mean that the overwhelming of the protests is still peaceful and that the nature of the Syrian uprising is still peaceful. But we need actually the international community to intervene to protect the peacefully of the Syrian uprising. Because as soon the international community, it has to intervene to prevent Syria from the civil war. Because if the international community is not intervening quickly, more possibility to have civil war, then the international community will intervene to manage the civil war. It's much better to intervene right now to prevent the civil war rather than managing the civil war later.
So tell me then, Radwan Ziyadeh, what would this intervention look like? I mean, we've already discussed the reluctance of China and Russia to endorse any UN action because they feel they got burned on Libya. Assuming that Russia and China would not veto any resolution, what kind of UN resolution would you want to stop the bloodshed in Syria?
It's clear to put sanctions on Bashar al-Assad, refer the crimes against humanity to the International Criminal Court, and to create a safe zone or a buffer zone along with the Turkish and Syrian border, and this has to be protected and imposed by no-fly zone. This is the way that the international community, they can help and they can protect the civilian, because the Assad regime will not stop the killing, as I told you before, in any way without having all the necessary measures by the Security Council.
So which member states do you think would be able to... Turkey's playing a very helpful role so far. If there was an authorization from the UN, what kind of an international force do you think could be put together?
I think the international community has... To work together. And of course, France, Turkey, and United States, and other European countries, along with the Arab League, all of them, they are on the same page right now to take actions to protect the civilians in Syria. And this is why Turkey, along with the, since Turkey is a NATO member, can be a significant role in putting the buffer zone and imposing the no-fly zone.
So just in closing then, Radwan Ziyadeh, I know that you've been working with the Syrian opposition, and you are, of course, with the secretary of the Syrian Organization for Transparency, and you founded and directed the Syrian Center for Political and Strategic Studies in Washington, D.C., along with the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. What would your final comment be on whether or not this is possible? I mean, I know you're working to make this possible, to stop the bloodshed. You don't believe that anything will stop Assad, because clearly the fact that he wouldn't let the Arab League monitors in indicates that he doesn't want anybody to know what he's doing, and he wants to continue doing it until he can kill enough people that everybody will stop protesting this regime that clearly that people want to get rid of. So just in closing, what kind of chances do you think of what you're calling for being implemented?
I am a member of the Syrian National Council, which is the main umbrella of the Syrian opposition, and also I'm the head of the Foreign Relations Office. Our official position at the Syrian National Council to protect the civilians, and this is our responsibility to protect our own people. And this is why it cannot, this is done without having safe zone and no-fly zone. This is all the necessary measures should be the international community work on it to stop the bloodshed in Damascus and in Syria.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Radwan Ziyadeh.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Radwan Ziyadeh, who's the founder and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. He's a visiting scholar at the Carr Center for Human Rights at Harvard University and a visiting fellow at Chatham House, the Royal Institute for International Affairs in London. And as he just pointed out, he is with the Syrian Opposition Council and head of their Foreign Affairs Division. So he's playing an active role in trying to stop the bloodshed in his country at the hands of this brutal family, this clan of dictators who see this country as their own private plantation and will kill as many people as necessary in order to hold on. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the tensions on the border with Pakistan and Afghanistan following a NATO raid that killed 24 Pakistani soldiers.
الحب والحب حب الخلايا نامت وما عاد تفيق شريط من رواية الحي انضيق.